is up, everybody? I am back. Took a little break over the winter just to kind of chill, have a little bit of downtime. You know, I wasn't doing anything on tour or anything for the months of November and December. So took a little bit of a break from the podcast, but we are back in full swing now. We have an episode right now. This one is with Bobby Edge. He's a singer and songwriter, musician based out of upstate New York. And then I'm not going to have an episode next week, but I will have one the week after that. So stay tuned. Get ready. Let's go. So this episode is with Bobby Edge. Hope you guys enjoy it. I'm just going to get right down to it and hit play. I apologize if you hear my dog in the background right now. I'm recording this one from home. So I hope you guys enjoy it. If you like this podcast, please give us a rating on your streaming app of choice and share it with a friend and make sure to like and subscribe and all that good stuff. Thank you so much and enjoy this episode with Bobby Edge. Okay, and we're rolling.
All right.
Cool. All right, I'm going to go ahead and jump right in because if I don't, then I tend to miss a lot of good stuff. I have Bobby Edge. How you doing today, man?
Good, very good. Thank you for having me.
Good, good. Is there any way, you're a little faint in the back.
Oh, yeah, I can crank this up.
Yeah, crank it up a little bit.
Let's see. Is that louder?
Oh, that's way better. That's way
okay.
better.
Okay. I had it low because I didn't want to like explode you.
No, that's all good, man. Is that a is that a dirt cheap hat?
Yeah, yeah.
Where are you from?
I'm from New York.
Okay. Do they have dirt cheap way out there?
No, but I was on tour last year with the Public Serpents and
okay.
I forget where we were playing, but I think it was like a record store.
The Record Space in St. Louis.
That's the name of it?
Yeah, there's a dirt cheap just down the road from there.
Yeah. So we walked down there, and I saw the hat, and I was like, I want this hat. The guy's like, you know it's $20. I said, I don't care how much it costs. He said, give me the hat.
That's awesome, man. Where are you from, New York?
Like Orange County, Newburgh area. Like it's near Poughkeepsie.
Okay, so upstate.
Like 90 miles north of the city.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. So, cool. Well, I'm from St. Louis. So, when I saw that logo, I was like, what's he doing with a dirt cheap hat on? Is he from the Midwest? So, I think that they're only around the St. Louis area and there might be some in like Kansas City or something like that.
Okay. But. Yeah. No, that place was really cool. Like that's a really fun liquor store.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They used to be all over here, like all over the place. And now there's not as many as there used to be. You know what I mean?
Oh, that stinks.
Yeah. It's dirt cheap. It's kind of like, you ever been to Come and Go?
Of course. Yeah.
It's one of those names that you're just like, why? Who came up with this? Who said this is okay?
Yeah.
I'm glad to finally meet you. I have seen your name around a lot. We have two mutual friends at least. Damon Workman.
Oh,
from Bipolar Records.
Yeah.
And then your upcoming tour mate, Jared Knappick.
Good friend of mine as well, yeah.
Yeah. So Damon used to live in St. Louis and he's become a good friend of mine. Now he's in Jacksonville, Florida. Where we're playing there next weekend. So
I'm
trying to get him to come out. He's got some work stuff and some personal stuff going on, but he is like just the salt of the earth, like awesome guy.
Oh, I love him so much.
Yeah, yeah, me too. And then Jared, we met him. We've played New York City a couple times now. We played Music Dies Here, the fest that they were putting on. And he played it both years too. He played it all 3 years, I think. We only played it twice, so.
Okay, yeah, no, he's great.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, dude, he has an amazing voice.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to for the upcoming tour.
Yeah, that'll be
fun. It's next week or something like that. I don't know. Everything's kind of a blur. I'm trying to keep it together. You know?
Yeah, man, especially with the holidays, it's like it just becomes kind of.
Yeah.
Like the days, usually the last couple of years when the holidays have happened, I've been like, okay, I'm ready to get back into my routine. Like, I'm ready. Like, let's go, you know? So, cool, totally. Dude. But,
yeah.
So tell me a little bit about, like, I listened to some of your stuff today. I have heard some of your stuff before. But when you reached out, I just recognized your name right away. And I was like, yeah, let's do this, wow. You know? So,
that's humbling. Well, that's crazy. Yeah. That's nuts.
But yeah, tell me, how did you kind of get your start in doing what you do?
I mean, I've been playing music since I was, I mean, maybe, I think I got my first guitar when I was 12.
Okay.
And then, like, I started, like, taking lessons and taking it seriously when I was 14.
Okay.
And then, like, I had a friend growing up that, you know, had, like, a little shitty recording set up. And then, like, I was like, oh, I got to, like, have an arms race with him with that. And, like, you know, and then just after that, the ball just kind of rolled. There's been, you know, ups and downs, times where I stopped playing. I went to school for – I was a music major. I went to school in Long Island. That's where I met Terry from the Jukebox Romantics.
Oh, I love Terry.
We're like years later, maybe a few years after, like, I dropped out and moved back home. They needed a bass player, so I played with them for 7 years.
Oh, wow.
And that's I kind of learned a lot from, like, playing with them and from him about how to do this thing and, you know, how you need to tour and whatever. And then ever since then, I left the band after the pandemic. I wanted to, like, do different stuff, you know. And I kind of decided, I was like, I kind of want to branch out and see what else is out there for me and what I can do. And I started doing my solo stuff. There was like a lull in that, and I hopped on the road with the Public Serpents for a little while, and now here we are. Yeah, even in a what is today even? It's the sixth. It's the fifth.
The fifth. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm leaving in like I can't do math, but some, you know, on the 14th, we Jared and I have our first show in Ohio.
Yeah. So, dude, that's next Wednesday. That's that's the exact same day that our tour starts in Florida with we're going with this band called Knives.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of them.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so we're doing
that's awesome.
3 days in Florida, and then I'm from St. Louis, so we're flying down Florida, 3 days in Florida, and then very Atlanta cool. And Nashville, and then we'll come home. So
oh, sick.
Yeah.
I love Nashville. Nashville's a great place to play. It's fucking insane though. Like, you've been there before,
oh,
right?
A bunch of times, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was just there, like, in, like, the downtown proper, maybe, like, a year or two ago on tour. And I was like, holy fuck. Fuck all this.
Yes,
like, this
dude.
Is too crazy. We heard cover bands in three different bars playing the same songs. And I was just like,
oh, yeah. Oh, dude.
This is just, like, redneck, what do you call it? New Orleans.
Yeah.
Like,
dude, we don't even go downtown when we go to Nashville anymore. It's like most of the time we play like East Nashville and it's a lot of the times it's like, it's the last show of our tour that we're doing, like, for whatever reason. And
sure. Yeah.
Or it's close to the end. It's like the second to last show. And we're usually all tired. And like, we go to Hattie B's and get chicken.
Okay. Yeah.
You
yeah.
Know, and, but then that's kind of the extent of what we do. There's like some really cool record shops there and like places.
Oh, I bet,
that,
yeah.
Like records, there's this place called the Vinyl Tap that like we went to and got like our had them put our record in the store for it. But it's like it's a lounge, like bar type space and a record store, you know?
Oh, that's cool.
So
yeah,
and
yeah.
They do like acoustic music and stuff too. So
oh, that's awesome.
But no, dude, I love Nashville. I'm not really into that whole scene either of like the tourist side of Nashville, just going downtown and stuff. I'm like, you know, now we have friends there and it's like, let's meet up and, you know, have some food before we play or something, you know.
Have you ever played at Springwater?
Oh, yeah. We played Springwater.
That's the place we played. I fucking loved it there.
Oh, dude.
That place is great. Like, that was one of the best shows of that tour.
Yeah, I think it's one of – Springwater is one of the oldest bars in Nashville, or the oldest bar in Nashville.
Yeah, yeah.
Our show, when we played there, that was one of our very first times. And it was like – the show didn't start till 9 o'clock on a Sunday night. And it just like –
It was our worst show in Nashville. We play, if you can get it, we play this place now called the Cobra.
Okay.
And it's a good space, but it's the production costs are like a little high, you know what I mean? It's starting to get like the first time we played there, it was like, it was really good. And then last time we played there, it's like, we still had a good crowd, but it was just like production costs are like, you know, you got to like break even on all that before you get paid. And it's like,
yeah,
man, we had like 50 people there and we still like, you know, barely, you know, made anything. Yeah. So, yeah. But awesome venue, great sound, like, you know,
sure. Yeah.
And then we played the End. Have you heard of the? Are you familiar?
That sounds familiar.
It's been there forever. And then we're playing this new place called the 58 at Eastside Bowl.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and that's,
it's like a bowling alley.
Yeah, it's a bowling alley, and they have a bigger venue. Sorry, my dog's going crazy right now.
That's all good.
Like whenever I get on a call like this or a podcast, yeah, he thinks that I'm talking to him or something, and like that, I, you know. But anyway, yeah, no, we've played a couple places. This is our second place that's been at a bowling alley where it's like, it's a huge bowling alley. And like, I don't know if this is the same thing with Eastside, but this is how it was when we played the different bowling alley. And it's just like a huge megaplex bowling alley place. And then, you know how like some bowling alleys have like a little bar, like lounge?
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of like that, but it's like a legit venue that holds like 100 people.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. So. Where all are you going on your tour?
Well, that's funny. Our first stop is in Youngstown, Ohio, at a place called Westside Bowl.
Oh, okay.
And it's like this big, it's this huge bowling alley. He has like a big stage for like bigger shows, like next to the lanes, and then there's like a downstairs, which is still like a pretty fucking large space.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you usually play down there. That I'm excited to go there. I love this place.
It's kind of near Cleveland, right?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah.
I know some people. I've seen some people that played. Yeah. I've seen some like Instagram stories of people who played there.
Yeah, it's awesome. The guy who runs the place, Nate, is like so fucking chill. Like,
that's awesome.
He totally like is all in for and just loves giving musicians a place to, you know, do their thing when they come on tour and everything.
Yeah.
He always takes care of us. We get like a free pizza and
that's awesome.
Like free bowling and some beers and stuff.
That's sick.
Yeah. It's, I mean, you can't really beat that, you know?
So like, you roll in a little early, you unload in, and then you're like, hey, let's bowl around, have some pizza. You
yeah.
Know?
Yeah. Yeah. But then, after there, we're headed towards, the Detroit area at a bar called Parts and Labor.
Okay, yeah, I've heard of that.
I've played there before. That place is pretty cool. The next one is a private. I can't say anything because I can't. It's a I feel like I'm already. It's a special event for someone who doesn't know that it's happening. Hopefully, they don't watch this podcast.
Okay.
When's this going to come out? Is it going to come out after?
I'm going to put it out on Thursday.
Okay. Okay. So yeah, we'll keep that silent. And then after that, we're headed to Milwaukee, to play a place called Sabbatic, which I love Milwaukee. I can't wait to go back. My friend, Jesse and, her friend Owen hooked me up, with that show. Pretty awesome. And then, headed from there to Columbus, Ohio, to this place called Half Baked.
Okay.
I can't wait to play this place.
I'm into it.
It seems so awesome. It's like a, I don't know, it's a, like a brew bar kind of thing. And they have like all these fun different kind of drinks. And I think I read that Sunday nights, they have everybody, you could play Fortnite there. And if you win, you get a free beer. And listen, I'm not good at that game. I can't play that shit at all. That's like way past my ability. But I think that's going to be fun to hang out and watch people do that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And then our last show is going to be in Baltimore with my friend Josh Douglas, who hooked it up at a record shop called Wax Atlas.
Oh, that sounds cool.
And especially since, you know, we're just – doing our solo things, it's like the perfect spot for us too, you know, like
yeah,
find like a little shop like that and you know, leave some records with them, be like, okay, you do a consignment deal, you know, like, and be like, oh, it's just cool to have it in the shop, you know?
Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
Like, I don't care if anybody ever buys it, but it's there. You
yeah.
know? It's like,
yeah, man, I started doing that. Time is weird. 2024, we put our record out and we had it on vinyl. And I started just calling up record stores in every city we would go to. And I'd be like, hey, can we, you know, can we're playing at wherever down the street, you know, in Louisville, Kentucky. Can we come by and like, you know, would you guys hold a couple records in your store for us? And some of them will do consignment. But and then they might be like, okay, after a year or two, if it doesn't sell, we're going to ship these back to you. But but other places would say they would just buy them from me. Like,
oh, that's cool.
Yeah, yeah,
that's awesome.
So you know, I would, and some of them would be like, yeah, we'll take three copies, and you know, if I'm selling my record for $20, I'd sell it to them for 12. So 30, yeah, yeah. 36 bucks. That's like almost a tank of gas in the van, you know what I mean? Like, you know, that's a little bit of gas money. And I think a lot of, you know, and then we would do like a social media post about them, tagging them and be like, hey, you know, the next day after the show, we'd be like, if you missed us or if you wanted to get our record is in this place, you know, in Louisville or whatever.
Very cool.
So,
I gotta try to do that. You know, I have such a hard time. I struggle to keep like a social media presence, not even just steadily. It's but like on the road, I'm just like always tired. And I'm like, I don't want people to see my face right now.
No, dude, I get that. Hey, man, but I'll tell you what, like, you know, some of the places that you're playing, like, you know, that Half-Baked place sounds awesome. Atlas,
I'm so excited for that one.
Wax Atlas, that sounds really cool. Like, I've and this is a question that I was going to ask you. I've been kind of like showcasing some of these places. Like, we've gotten to play like 924 Gilman, and we played we played like First Unitarian Church in Philadelphia, and you know, like places like that have been around forever, like Will's Pub. In Orlando, and I'm trying to, like, we just played this place in Kansas, in Lawrence, Kansas, called The Bottleneck, which is like a really awesome venue here in the Midwest. And I'm making it my mission to kind of like do a little video when we go to some of these historic places. And totally. I would love to see, you know, some of the places that you're describing, just you're describing it. And I'm seeing like a picture in my head, like, even if you just do a quick little like Instagram story, like, hey, here's the venue we're playing tonight. We go on at 7, like it's $10, you know, whatever. I think I would want to see that from you, Bobby.
Sure. I mean, I'll do my best, you know. I'll have maybe like Jared and I can split that and you know, do the dual post.
Absolutely.
Because like I show up and I'm just like, I feel like shit. Can I get a drink?
So tell me what do you think is the most unique or interesting place that you've played venue wise?
Oh wow, okay. There's got to be the one that comes to mind instantly is Dirty Dungarees in Columbus, Ohio.
The laundromat.
That place is awesome.
I've never played there. We've only played Columbus once. And
that place is really cool.
To play there,
I think the first time I played there was like a Sunday show, and people all came out, you know. It's just cool. It's like a laundry, and we got to do our laundry on tour too.
That's awesome.
You know, it doesn't have to be an extra stop. It's all there. You know, that place is really cool. Man, I'm trying to think. Like, shit. There's been a lot of crazy places. When I was on tour with the Public Serpents, was that last year or the year before? I don't know what year we're in. I think it was in 2024. I think it was the end of 2024. I was on tour with them. We got to play on a reservation in Cameron, Arizona.
Oh, nice.
And it was just fucking nuts. It was crazy. It was like this dude just had like a little, I don't know, like a little, I don't want to say shed because it was bigger than a shed, but he had it all set up for bands to play in. and like people fucking went nuts. It was just something else. And like when you're out there in Arizona and there's no light pollution, you see the stars and you see like just, I don't know, it's like overwhelming a little bit, you know?
It's like a little magical.
Yeah, and then like the people there were all so excited to see it. It was a fucking insane show, you know? And we were touring in like one of those like half size like school buses, and we're just driving it down like a dirt road, and we're like, where is this, the right place, where are we going, you know? Like that's definitely one of them. If I had time to think about it, I could probably pull out a hundred of them, but those are the ones that like come to my mind.
Absolutely.
Of recent, you know?
Yeah, that's awesome, man. No, I love that. I love Arizona. I love like the Southwest of the United States, like the desert. Yeah. My girlfriend and I, what you were just talking about, we went to Santa Fe last year now, but it was really only like, you know, 2025 was only a week ago. So, but it was last June. So when you say last year, it was like 6 months ago. It was in June for our 5 year anniversary, and dude, the most beautiful sunsets ever.
Oh yeah.
And it's just so quiet. If you're from New York, if you lived on Long Island and you've been around New York, like super fast paced. And like, I live in the city here in St. Louis, and it's fast, you know, there's a pace. It's not as fast as Chicago or New York, but there's definitely a pace here. And when you go to a place like Santa Fe where it's like real slow and you're like,
it's nice.
Whew, man, yeah. I can get used to this. I got to slow down a little bit.
You could take a second to breathe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Finally. Yeah. Oh, it's beautiful. I love it.
So dude, you talked about how you played in Jukebox Romantics, which I do have a quick story. So Terry, we have like kind of crossed paths a couple of times. I need to have him on this podcast.
Yeah, you should. I'll text him. I'll be like, yo, you got to come on this.
Yeah, I'm sure you know Will Romeo.
Of course. That's a close friend of mine.
Dude,
yeah.
Good friend of mine too. We went on tour with him in American Thrills this past summer. So,
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And so anyways, they played Music Fest here the day after us. So we didn't play like the same day, and like Terry could come to see us play. And then when we played 924 Gilman, this dude walks up to me. He's like, yeah, hey, I'm Terry from the Jukebox Romantics. And I'm like, why am I meeting you here? Like this is literally the opposite side of the country, like for both of us. Like,
oh, he was just on vacation.
Yeah,
right?
he was on vacation and came to the show with Andy from Sell the Heart.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I was like, man, this is so wild. But you talked a little bit about how you know, you learned a lot from him, touring with the Romantics and stuff. Like, can you tell me, like, what were some of the biggest things that you learned through that process?
You gotta you just gotta bust your ass. You gotta just show up early.
Yeah.
You know, that's important. And when it comes to booking, you know, like, we would have to book together something. We would give each other different blocks of everything. So I was like, well, what do I do? He's like, you just Google search, or, you know, like some places are cool. They have like lists of stuff, but just like simple stuff too. Like, you know, like and you know what? I'm not trying to call anybody out for this, but like I see it sometimes. And it's like, all right, have a guitar tuner that, you know, nobody wants to hear you go, blah.
No, absolutely.
It seems obvious, but you'd be surprised, and just like little things about like how to be like more professional about it. And, you know, I think that's important. I think people notice that when, you know, you show up at load-in or a little bit before, even if most times you're showing up and the guy hasn't opened the door, the sound guy isn't there, and you still have to wait an hour, it's better off. You know, I think I learned that hurry up and wait is it's a necessity. I would hate to show up. I would be so embarrassed now, you know. And let me think. Like what else?
I think you're right though, dude. Just that those little professional touches.
Like
say a lot, because I see, and you know, I'm not calling anybody out either, but you know, when we play, when we tour, but when we also play locally, you know, and I host a little festival here in St. Louis too, and I'm totally not trying to call anybody out, but like, you see, you just see how bands run their things differently, you know?
Yeah, totally. And I
take this, like, I run this, like I ran my own business for 5 years. I run this like it is a business. You know what I mean? Like, I take it that seriously, where I'm like, I'm super professional and try to, you know, of course we're going to have fun. That doesn't mean you can't have fun.
Exactly.
But it's like, you know, we're going to be on time. I'm going to get you what you need in a timely way. I'm not going to have venues following up with me or promoters saying, hey, did you get me a photo? Did you get me this? Get, you know, I'm going to be reaching out to them for the advances.
I always send them the whole package. Like I will mail out physical posters to the, to them and everything. And, another thing. That's just, don't fuck with your shit. Cause I work as a sound guy too. Don't fuck around at sound check, especially like if you're a drummer and the sound guy is in there like miking your kick drum. It's like the worst thing you could fucking do is just hit your fucking snare while he's down.
Right.
You might as well just like kick him over and say fuck you at that point.
Well, I think that's a big, like, pay attention to your surroundings. What's happening around me right now? Like, I probably shouldn't be screwing around with my snare drum or my kick drum while he's trying to do this. You know what I mean? Like, And you know, you're kind of like, I feel like sometimes people have an us versus them mentality when it comes to like sound guys or staff. It's like thinking that like they want to sabotage. I'm like, no, hey, we're all in this together. I need you as
that, I want to make persons on the team. Yeah.
Wait,
yeah.
Sorry, you broke up. What'd you say?
Oh, that the sound person is on the team.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, like they're on your
team.
You know?
100%. Yeah. And like, you know, even the bartenders and the door staff and all those people, like, you know, they're all part of making it happen too. It's not just like we're not rock stars and they're not just here to like cater to us. You know what I mean? Like, this is all. You know, I would think even at the highest level of doing this, like, it's all a group effort. It's not just, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It takes like a whole town worth of people to make it happen.
Totally.
Yeah. And you know, I love bartenders and they love me too for multiple reasons, but you know, there's plenty of nights on tour where you're just playing to the bartender.
Sometimes. And,
and you know what? It's nice when they're just like, hey, you guys are real good. I'm like, hey, well, thank you. I'll be like, yo, here's a CD. You know, like,
dude, if you get a compliment
or something, you know,
if you get a compliment from the sound guy, that you sound good. If there's nobody at the show and the sound guy was like, you guys were really good, because you know he's seen many, many terrible bands, you know, and really, really good bands.
Yeah.
You know, so like if you're like, if I always feel like that's the highest compliment. If the sound guy comes up and he's like, hey, you guys sounded really good. Your tone was awesome. Like, you know, you guys were really easy to mix. I always like that. That, you know, that it feels good.
Yeah. Well, that's another thing is like to know, you gotta have good mixing yourself on stage with the band. You know, like know what your stage volume should be.
Right.
Because working in sound, I've done a lot of bands where the guitarists just cannot physically turn their amp down. I do not know why. And I know, like, you know, people are like, but like no. Sometimes it's so I've done shows for bands where I'm doing sound where the guitar is so loud that I cannot get the vocals above it
without
having them feed back. And then people come up to me while I'm in the sound booth and they're like, hey, can you make the vocals louder? Well, I say, why don't you go over there and tell so-and-so to turn his fucking guitar down?
Because no,
I told
him
five
dude.
Times already. And now I'm just trying to do my best.
Right. And nobody, as a guitar player, nobody wants to turn down, but like for
it's fun as hell to be loud.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's the best thing in the world to play loud. But for the sake of the show and the sake of the audience, like, and I've really had to learn, like, I would blow out my voice after the second show on a tour. And I really had to learn, like, if I can't hear, you know, part of that is stage volume, but part of it sometimes is like, you know, just the room, you can't hear your monitor, you know? And I really had to teach myself, like, okay, that doesn't mean that I have to push harder. What I, if just because I can't hear myself doesn't mean that people out there can't hear me, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So, very true. So I've really had to like, just be like, okay, just really, cause you know, if I can't hear myself, I want to push harder so that I can hear. And, you know, I've just had to really be like to the sound guy, like, hey, can you give me as much of my vocals as you can? And then he might be like, okay, I can't go any higher. We're going to get feedback or whatever, you know, but it's hard to find the balance sometimes.
Yeah. Well, you know, one thing that I learned is that I kind of have to sing a different way when I'm on tour, because if I'm belting and doing it out every night, like my voice is going to be gone in 3 days.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I took vocal instruction for pretty much all of last year. And that really helped learn how to sing and like from the diaphragm and whatnot. Yeah. And, also just like, you don't have to like really push it out and belt to get some of those notes and some of that. And sometimes it's better if you don't. It becomes like more dynamic and everything. And then, but yeah, dude, I blow my voice out so many fucking times on tour. We're like, and now I'm getting older. It used to just like come back after a day. Now it's like, all right, I really have to like just drink. I have the gallon of water.
Yeah.
And then I'll take the fucking turmeric capsules and ibuprofen. And then just not say anything to anybody all day.
Dude, I have done that before where it's like for one show, it'll just be gone and I'll just push through it. And then the next day it'll be back. And I got this, and I'll send it to you in an email or text or something. I got this stuff. It's like, it's for your vocals, and it has like like ginger and tumeric.
Is it the Vocalese tincture stuff?
Yeah, and
I have a couple bottles of that.
That it was like $38 for a bottle,
dude.
Like,
it's super expensive.
But I've been taking it before practices, and it helps my range. The last show we did, or the last couple tours we've done, I haven't had any issues at all. Like. Dude, maybe awesome. Maybe towards the end, like my voice is getting a little scratchy, but I can still sing and I'm fine. That's helped a lot. And then doing warm ups before and after also helps. But that's also hard. You know, I'm sure you are as well. Like I'm the tour manager also for my band. So like so a lot of times I'm running around like before the show. It takes me a minute to. I have to be really intentional about like. Okay, I need to go outside for 15 minutes and warm up my voice, like before we do this, you know, because usually there's like a lot going on. But dude, so tell me, okay, we've got 7 minutes left. So tell me a little bit about your songwriting process. Are you kind of like, are you a lyrics first person or a music first person?
I'm always music first.
Me too.
Yeah, and it's really boring. I get asked this a lot, and then like I tell everybody the process, and it's just I sit down with a riff on bass or guitar, and then I'll figure out what tempo it is. I'll put a click track on, and then it's kind of like it seems like 5 or 6 hours will pass, and then like all of a sudden there's like a song in front of me, and I'm like, all right, now I gotta, and I suck at writing lyrics too. So it's always just comes from like different little unrelated things that like pop into my head during the day. Like the melodies I can do fine. Like if I could just sing an ooh and ah throughout everything, that would be so easy for me. But I think I get in my own head. I get a little self-conscious. I'm like, is this, I don't know. What am I saying? Am I saying anything? Is this important? Do people want to hear this? Is this going to relate with anybody? And then, like at the end of the day, I'm like, you know what? I don't know. I feel it, you know. And it'll go through like 3 or 4 different iterations of lyrics and stuff before. That's you know, I like to sit down. I'll even do like the vocal harmonies and the backups, before I even have like a main melody with the lyrics or something, kind of work.
Oh, okay.
Like I like to work from the ground up, you know, like bass, guitar, drums, and then like I'll fool around with maybe, you know, some stuff on my keyboard here, and then I'm basically just, when I'm writing, I'm procrastinating as much as I can to not have to write lyrics.
Oh, dude, the lyrics always come last for me, unless if, like, every once in a while I'll wake up and I'll be like, I'll have the melody and lyric, you know, to something in my head that it's like, whoa, you're nothing but a memory. You know, I'll just have that line.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'll be like, oh, okay, that's kind of cool. Like, I can work around that, you know. I have written some songs that have happened that way. But for the most part, I'm the same as you. Like, I sit down with my guitar and my laptop, and I riff, and I, you know, fool around with chord progressions and stuff. And, like, usually for the chorus, I'm a big chorus guy. Like, I love catchy stuff. And, like,
oh totally.
You know, yeah. So I usually for the chorus, I'm like, I'll get a good progression, and I'll just listen to it over and over and over until, like, the right thing. Sometimes I won't. Yeah. Sometimes I'll be like, you know what? I have to shelve this for a minute because I can't come up with anything. But, and then a month later, I'll come back. I'll be like, what was this? And I'm like, oh yeah, this would be perfect. You know, like, yeah. I feel like it's good to not. Sometimes the song comes out in like 10 minutes, and it's,
sure,
and
yeah,
it's
yeah.
super effortless. And then other times it's like, man, I was working on this song for 3 months, and it just, you know, I shelved it, I wrote it two or three others, and then, like, I came back to it, you know. Yeah,
I love that, like, aha moment that you get when you're, because I'll do it, and I a lot of times I'll just do it stream of consciousness, whatever the lyrics are coming out of my mouth, and then, like, if it makes me, like, emotional, like, if it makes me, like, laugh or, like, want to cry, I'm like, all right, this is the right way. This is the right way that we're heading. And then, like, I'll get it down and be like, that's it. Here we go.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No, dude, what you were saying before is, like, you want to write stuff that's relatable, but I feel like, to your point, if you're feeling something emotional with it, whether it's funny or sad or nostalgic or melancholy, whatever, then somebody else is going to feel,
you sure.
know, it's like somebody else is going to have the same feeling for sure.
Yeah. That's my biggest hope, you know, is that, like, people will hear this and be like, oh yeah, this reminds me of something that happened to me, or, oh yeah, I know what that feels like, or, or, wow, that's funny as hell. Like,
right.
Cause I like to be, like, kind of tongue-in-cheek sometimes. I think it's fun, you know? Like, I don't ever want to take myself too seriously and, like, lose, like, the like, adolescent kind of childhood, like, you know, silliness.
I get, you know, that. I get that. Yeah. No, dude, I'm really big on that, too. Like, I not necessarily in our music, but, like, I was just telling my girlfriend about she said, oh, there you are. You just like came out of the from out of the shadows. And I was like, oh, like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles out of the shadows. Like, you know, I have in my studio, I've got all, like, Spider-Man and Garfield and Snoopy and stuff. I'm like, I'm all about, like, the whimsy and just, you know, the fun stuff. So
got my Pikachu.
Oh, I love that.
I got so much stupid shit over here that I like, just stupid things that I love, you know?
But I think it's good to have things like that that make you happy around, you know?
Oh, yeah, so, yeah.
For sure.
Oh, hang on, before we get one more. I have a portrait of a rat hugging a slice of pizza.
Oh, I love that.
I love this so much that I had my friend Charlie tattoo it on my forearm.
That's got to be New York City, right?
Yeah, I bought it in Grand Central.
Oh, hell yeah.
I was, like, hammered. I had just gotten thrown out of the fucking Refuse show the night before. I was in a state, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to – you know, I want that. You know, that's mine.
Hell yeah. So, dude, we got a minute and 20 seconds left. Where can people – yeah, no, I just – it's just because I don't want to spend money for the premium version of Zoom. So,
gotcha.
It cuts me off at 40 minutes. So, where can people find you on the internets?
You can find me on Spotify, Apple's, Amazon's, Bandcamp, everywhere you can stream music.
What's your Instagram?
At Bobby Edge. Everything is just Bobby Edge.
Oh.
There's a fucking backpack named the Bobby Edge now. So just you have to sift through that bullshit now, which I'm speechless. I know I have less than a minute, and I'm trying to get it across. But you can pretty much, you know, if you Google me, I'll come up, and you can find pictures of me and a backpack as well.
Awesome, brother. Well, thank you so much, dude. I'll have this up on Thursday. Sweet. If you could send me a photo to use, that would be great.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but dude, have a great tour, and I'm gonna get in touch with Jared after the tour. We're gonna do we'll do a podcast.
Hell yeah!
So, awesome. All much right. love, brother.
Thanks so much, soon. Brother.
Yep, no problem, man.
Good night, my friend.
Good night.